Matthew's Gospel, please, chapter 27. Verse 1, Matthew 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Verse 11, and Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. Verse number 15. Now at that feast, John's Gospel tells us it was the feast of Passover. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Pilate said, Then the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Let's look down the chapter a little bit. Just the first part of verse number 57. And when the even was come. Now that would suffice for our reading, but there's a couple of verses I want to pick up from Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. Verse number 7 and verse number 15. Mark 15, verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Verse 15, And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Trust God will bless what you've heard already, along with the reading of these scriptures. Maybe you caught it while my brother Grant was speaking tonight. He talked about the opportunity of a lifetime. And actually, he talked about one day in the life of one man that changed everything. Just one day. I want to talk to you about another man and just one day in his life. There are other things we know about his life, but just this one day in his life. The sad thing is, it's his last day. And he knows it. This is the last day of his life. The chapter started, verse 1, when the morning was come. It closes with, when the evening was come. And when that morning was come, Barabbas knew, before the evening comes, I'll be in eternity. Let me stop for a minute. Before that clock strikes midnight, where will you be? Oh, you say, well, I'll be in someone's home. Really? Are you sure? You're not, are you? You hope to be. This man knew. I'll be in eternity. Now that changes a person's thinking. I don't know if the man, Mr. Orzok, ever preached on this platform here. But his father lived in the same town that I live in. And he was in the hospital. And I used to visit him quite often because the man was not ready to die, and he was dying. And I was extremely frustrated with him. And I was trying to treat him with respect and kindness as an older gentleman. Finally, one day, he told me he didn't want to talk anymore, and he actually got angry with me and said, leave. Just leave. I said, no, Mr. Orzok, I am not leaving. Where were all the friends you told me about that you played cards with? Where are all your Navy friends that you sailed the seas with, that you've told me all those stories? I'm done with your stories, and I'm not leaving. I'm the last friend you have because you're going out and you're not ready. And that man sobered up. I didn't yell like that. But I told him those exact words. Don't chase me out. I'm the only one in this hospital that cares for your soul. This is your last opportunity. Don't put me out. But if you insist, I'll leave. I can still see the tears as they roll down the side of his head. He said, no, don't leave. Don't leave. I'm not ready. I'd like to be able to tell you that Mr. Orzok got saved. I don't know that. With all my heart, I hope that he did. But I don't know that. But he's gone into eternity. And you're still here. And you don't know. But this is your last opportunity. Do what Bartimaeus did. Grasp it. Don't let it slip by. Don't treat it like just another gospel meeting, another Stark Road conference. Take this opportunity with all your heart, with all your soul. Take it. This day. It was Barabbas' last day. Let me talk to you quickly about the crimes he committed, for he was a criminal. You have no problem with that, do you? He was a criminal that got caught. He's in a prison cell, a holding cell, not prison, just the jail where they're holding him, till the day of his execution. And he's with the others that had committed crimes with him. They too were insurrectionists. They too were malefactors. Three men in a cell, but one man was a murderer. And they've all been sentenced to die this day. Well, you say, you know, I might be a sinner, and I might be bad, but I'm not a criminal. Excuse me? Don't you understand what sin is? Girls, do you understand what sin is?
It's not just something we all do. Every sin is a crime against God. Everyone. Whether it's thought, word, or deed, it's a crime against God. And God accounts us as criminals. That's what it means to be a sinner. That's a nice way. It's not nice. We've counted it like, okay, we're all sinners. We all know we've all sinned. But no, we're all criminals. We've committed crimes against God, just like this man did.
And he's waiting.
We don't read about his trial. It happened, but we don't read about it. It's not in the scriptures. He's in a holding cell. You know why? Because the trial is passed and he's condemned already. You know where I'm going with that, don't you? John 3:18. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. But now listen. He or she that believeth not the Son is condemned already. All that you're waiting for is the sentence to be carried out. That's all Barabbas is waiting for. This day, that sentence will be carried out. I shudder. I hope your sentence is not carried out today. If it is, friend, you will be lost and lost eternally. It's all he's waiting for. This day, because he's condemned already. I don't know what the setup was. In my mind, I picture it as a courtroom here. Well, let's say a little, see that door over there? We'll call that the holding cell. There's three men in that door. And back through this door here is where they keep the instruments of execution. And there's some crosses stacked up in that room. And the three men in that room, there's a cross for every one of them. But something changed this day. Because busting through those doors, unannounced and unscheduled, they bring another criminal. Trouble was, he wasn't a criminal. Into that courtroom. And they insist that the governor, who didn't schedule this, they insist that the governor judge this man. And he's caught. Because we read it. They knew. He knew that for envy they had delivered him. He saw the setup. You don't get to be governor of Judea, a Roman governor, high up in government, being a fool. He could see right through them. He saw the setup. And he had one last card to play. This is the day. Every year that I release a prisoner unto them. And as they march this man in and he sees right through the sham of it all. And he thinks of those three men in there. Two of them were bad. But one was worse. And he pits him against the Lord Jesus. And in his mind, there's no contest. Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? A murderer or Jesus, which is called Christ? And he fully expected. No one wanted that murderer. I don't know what took place at that trial. I don't know the relief in Jerusalem when finally this man was apprehended and sentenced and imprisoned and sentenced to die. Relief went all over the city. Now, he says, I'll put him back on your streets. And he thought for sure they would say, no, don't do that. Barabbas knows nothing of this now. He's in there. He's quiet. He hears a commotion out here, maybe. We're not told. But he knows in that room, there's a cross that he deserves. He knows that. And now the judge is asking, who's going to take that cross? That's really what it comes down to. Who's going to take that cross? The cross he deserves? Or are you going to give it to this man who doesn't deserve it? You understand that? He did not deserve the cross. Not for Barabbas and not for you. Nor for me. I deserved it. And you deserve it. You deserve to die. He didn't deserve to die. He not only was innocent, he was holy. Big difference. Innocent means you haven't sinned. Holy means you cannot sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. Neither was any sin in him nor guile found in his mouth. He's the spotless Lamb of God. He's the Son of God from heaven. And he's a murderer. And you're a criminal. Who deserves the cross? Pilate knew there's no contest here. He deserves the cross, not him. You deserve the cross, not him. But to his shock and amazement, they said, let Barabbas go. We'll take Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Give him the cross. And I don't know how it happened, but it did happen. That door opened. Maybe it was a soldier. Maybe it was the governor himself. Because it's only the governor that can pardon. He goes in there and he brings out this man. And the chains were released. Let me talk to you for a minute about the chains being released. I don't think Barabbas ever dreamed in his wildest imagination that those chains would ever be released except in death. He was condemned to die. He deserved to die. Trial is past. The only day those chains are going to be released is when they take those manacles off my hands and stretch them out on a cross. They'll be released in death. What amazement. It must have been absolutely amazing when the hands were released. And he was told, you're free. You're free to go. Must have just looked. Really? How do you think it felt? Must have come over him in waves. I'm free. They're gone. Why? Who? 49 years ago tonight, I was set free. October 27th, 1969. Not going to tell you my testimony, but I'm going to tell you this. I was on my knees by my bed when I was set free. And I sat back on my heels and I could hardly take it in. Salvation comes and believe it. I could hardly believe it. I sat back. I said, no. It can't be. It can't be. I hardly dared to say I'm saved. And made dozens of stabs at it before. But I was free. Finally, I bowed my head on the bed and I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Christ died for me. I'll never forget it.
The moment those chains were released, my sins were gone. You think Barabbas will ever forget it? Whether that man is in heaven or hell, I do not know. But I know this, he'll never forget this day. It's why I read in Mark's gospel. Because in one verse, listen to what happened. In one sentence, in one breath, he released unto him Barabbas and delivered Jesus. And those two men came face to face. The day he encountered Christ. What a day. I don't know what Barabbas did. We're not told. But I can hardly imagine encountering Christ, being set free from physical chains, and coming face to face with the man that's about to take your cross, to take your place. What would you say? What would you say tonight? Because that's what we're hoping and praying for in this meeting. That this would be the day that you encounter Christ. That you come face to face with the one who sets you free. I wasn't in the court that day. But if I was, I'd like to just come behind Barabbas and say, wait, stop here, Barabbas. Don't pass by too quick. Don't be too fast to go out those doors. Have you anything to say to this man? He's about to take your cross. Why don't you just ask, who is he? Who is he? Who else would take my cross? Who would take your cross? That's really the teaching of the cross in the Bible. Who would take your place? Whoever would dare to die for you? Who could possibly love you so much that he would give his all for you? A sinner, a criminal, and let you go free, absolutely free. Sins gone, sins forgiven, account cleared, and take all your punishment for you. Who would do that? Don't you think Barabbas should ask that? I think you should ask that. Because you know there's only one in the whole universe that would ever do that. And his name is Jesus. Only one. There is none other. There never was, there never will be. Only one, our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus himself, would even dare to take your cross and suffer the vengeance of Almighty God for your crimes. To be condemned for you. There's some verses at the beginning of Romans chapter 8 that I think we overlook so easily. But listen to them. For what the law could not do, listen now, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, listen now, condemned sin in the flesh. You want that in plain English? The Lord Jesus took your condemnation, condemned in our place. A real man in flesh and blood suffered on a tree, condemned by God for us, the guilty. That's what happened for Barabbas. But Barabbas is gone and you're here. And we're here to tell you that's what happened for you. That's why you can be saved tonight. It's the Lord Jesus. Who? Why? Shouldn't he ask why? Don't go out too quickly now, Barabbas. He's right here. Just ask him why. Why would you do this? You know you don't deserve it. Just ask him. Why? One reason. Because I love you, and I don't want you to be in hell. And if you don't let me take your place, you will be in hell. I say that as kindly as I can say it to you. If you do not take the Lord Jesus as your substitute, as your Savior, there is no one else. There is nothing else. There is no salvation. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is his opportunity. Oh, Barabbas, don't miss it. Don't let this opportunity go by. Cry out like Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Don't let it slip, friend. Because in a few minutes, this meeting will be over. And what will you do? And I see those two men come face to face. And then they part. And as Barabbas goes out that door, I want to ask him one last question. Barabbas, while you were in that cell, a question echoed around this hall. I'm going to ask it to you now, Barabbas, before you go out. What shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I'll ask you the same question. Because we're going to sing a hymn, and we're going to go out. But just wait a minute before you go out. Answer the question. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Because, friend, every single person that encounters Christ, that comes face to face with Christ, must answer that question. One way or the other. Pilate never heard the gospel like you're hearing it. And Pilate understood, before this day is over, I've got to answer that question. And Barabbas is going out, and he must answer the question. And you're going out. And you must answer the question. So answer it. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, even if you're not saved here tonight, listen to me. What would you tell Barabbas to do? What would you tell him? Wouldn't you tell him, trust him? Accept him? Put your confidence in him? Believe on him with all your heart? Put your faith in him, Barabbas? Or you're a dead man? Wouldn't you tell him that? Sure you would, and I'll tell you the same thing. Trust him. Put your faith in him. Rely on Christ. Take him as your Savior. Or you're a dead man. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. Ye shall die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. Trust him. Let's pray.